as many where we can. Okay. Okay. I prefer to start with a little joke usually at the beginning of a talk, but I tried to think of a joke about preparing for Pesach to tell to women. I couldn't think of a single joke about it, so it's all very serious business, so we'll get right down to business. Right. I'm going to begin by reading some psukim, and I didn't want to be Marbe Shemos and make extra pages of something that's readily found in Tanakh. So if you have a chumash in front of you, that's fine. Good morning. We're just beginning. If you have a chumash in front of you, that's fine. Please turn to Parshas Kisavo in Devarim. It's Perek Chavav. And even as I read it aloud, and please don't mind, we're going to read it in Havar Ashkenazim. But even as I read it aloud, I think you're going to recognize the words as and where you see them over Pesach. Hi, good morning. And hi, good to see you. Okay. Good. We're just getting started. Perfect. Hi. Okay. Good morning. Okay. I think you recognize some of the words, and in a moment you'll find out why I'm emphasizing these words. Here, if you look in Devarim. In Devarim, Perek Chavav. Pasuk Aleph. We're going to look at Sukkim Aleph through Yud, and then you'll see which parts are relevant to our discussion today. When you come to the land that Hashem is giving you as an inheritance, and you'll dwell in it, you'll take from the fruits of the earth that Hashem that you'll bring from the land that Hashem is giving you. You put it in a basket and you go to the place where Hashem has chosen to have his name dwell, to dwell. You'll come to the Beit HaMikdash with it. So the Kohen, the priest, will take the basket from your hands, and here's the prescription of what you're going to say. Arami oved avi, vayered mitzrayma, vayagasham bimsema at, vayhisham legoy gadol atzum varav. And we'll see in a moment what Arami Oved Avi means, because there are many possible meanings to it. My father went down to Mitzrayim and dwelt there in small numbers. Vahisham Legoy Gadol Atzum Varav. He became a very large and powerful and many peopled nation. Vayareo Son HaMitzrim. And we'll see what that means in a moment, because it doesn't just mean that the Mitzrayim were bad to us, because if that were the meaning, it would be Vayareu Lanu HaMitzrim, that they were bad to us. It's Vayireu Osanu HaMitzrim. Somehow they were bad, made us bad in some way. Vayanunu Vayitnu Aleinu Avadah Kasha. They were cruel to us, and they gave us harsh work to do, hard work to do. Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avosenu, Vayishma Hashem Es Kolenu, Vayar Esanyenu Vesamolenu Veslachatzenu. Hashem heard our cries, and he saw how we were suffering. Vayosenu Hashem Mitzrayim B'yad Chazakah, Vizron Tiyah of Merak Adolah, Vososu Mubosim. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, in a fearsome way, in a marvelous way, and with signs, with portents, with omens, and with signs of some kind. And then it goes on to say how we thank Hashem for bringing us to this land, and Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And now here I am bringing Reshis Pri Hadama Shanasata Li. I'm bringing from the first fruits of the land that you gave to me, Hashem. And you put it before Hashem. You bow to Hashem, and you should be rejoicing in all the good that Hashem has given to you and to your household and to the Levi who is dwelling in your midst. Now, which part do you recognize as part of something very important to the Seder? Yeah, and which part do we recite? Starting from Arami Oved Avi and going until Vosot Umosim. Just that part. Now, this Rav Salvechik takes as the central part of the Haggadah. this is the most important part of the Haggadah. Here is where we're really hearing what Pesach is all about. And it's interesting that it's from the whole phrasing of the bringing Bikurim, which we actually say at Shavuos time, that we're saying it now at Pesach time as part of the Seder. And we'll see in a minute why that is. The first thing is that all of Pesach is a declaration. It's a declaration of our belief in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, we actually declare our belief in the fact that this miracle happened to our people. We declare it several times a day, actually. For example, every day in Kriyat Shema, the third paragraph is remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every day in benching, in Odeh Lecha, we say, Ashen Kach Lavaseinu Eretz Chevetz Tov Rechava, V'ashen Sisanu Meretz Mitzrayim. We thank Hashem for taking us out of Egypt. Every day in davening, we actually say exactly the phrase, exactly the song that we said going out of Egypt. We say Az Yashir, and we recapitulate the experience of that miracle at Yam Suf. We'll need it at the end again, so that's fine. Okay. We recapitulate the experience of going out of Mitzrayim, and we actually sing the song that we sang when we went out of Mitzrayim. And again, right before Shemona Esrei, what are the last words that we say? Words from that Shira again. Mi kamocha be'ilim Hashem, mi kamocha nezer b'kodesh, and we say Hashem yimocha olam va'ed, all coming from the Shira al Hayam. So it would seem, why do we have to have a special chag dedicated to remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? This is something we're remembering every day in Birkat HaMazon, in Kriyat Shema, in davening, in singing Az Yashir. But sometimes we even think of it in the way that we think of the first mitzvah that we were given when we went out of Mitzrayim. The first mitzvah we were given was HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, and when we count the Chadashim, Nisan counts as the first month. And every time you say that Nisan is HaChodesh HaRishon, and every time you say that the next months in succession are Chodesh Sheni, Shlishi, and so on, what you're saying is we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, we remember the first mitzvah that we were given at that time, and we even count the months of the year according to the mitzvah that we were given at Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why do we need a special time to remember, and why don't we have a bracha on the remembering? If this is such an important thing to do, why don't we have a bracha on it? Now, first of all, why would you think that we have a special chag? What might you think is the reason? Why was this instituted? Why Hashem give us a special chag? What would you say?
Because it says in the Torah that we should keep 7 days from our thoughts.
Okay. And what happens when we do that? What happens? In the same way that we may be very aware of the fact that our child is, thank God, 13 years old, and yet we have a bar mitzvah to celebrate this particular time in his life. What happens each time that you celebrate something, in this case with a 7-day celebration for you, for me an 8-day celebration, what happens when you do this kind of thing?
You relive the experience.
You remember in a very powerful way. And that's exactly what's happening at Pesach time. Even though we're thinking about it throughout the year, we're thinking about it every day, we're thinking about it every month, but to fully re-experience, that's what we're trying to do at Pesach. We're trying to make it a very powerful memory, and we're trying to re-experience it in a very strong way.
Well, and go ahead. For women, that we really experience it in a very strong way, because Abadim Ayinu B'Mitzvah.
So we go from Shibud Ligula, right? Shibud until, and then Tali, when you sit down at the Seder and breathe a sigh of relief, Ligula. Okay, excellent. Okay, but what we're trying to do is, in addition to the daily and monthly reminders, we're trying to have a time, and this is why. I can't give the reason. I'm not giving Tam HaMitzvah. But Hashem allowed us this time to fully re-experience and to fully savor what it means to be free people. The Chassam Sofer said that we don't have a special bracha on remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though it's a mitzvah to recall Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's a mitzvah to tell it over to our children. But we don't have a special bracha on it because he said whenever a mitzvah has no ending to it, you don't have a bracha on it. For example, there is no mitzvah on kibud horim. There's no special mitzvah on honoring your parents, because this is a mitzvah that goes throughout your life, and there is no one. Because there is no one moment you can define as this is what I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah that has a definite limited time to it, that has a finite time to it, for example, putting up a mezuzah, there of course you say a bracha, because there's a mitzvah that you're doing. You say the bracha, you do the mitzvah, and you fulfill it. But with honoring parents, there is no limit, there is no end. And with remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's an infinite mitzvah as well. So you don't say a bracha on it, even though you're trying to fulfill the mitzvah with everything you do at Pesach time. Now here, one of the things we're trying to do is to appreciate the fact that life changed completely when we went from Shibud Mitzrayim to freedom, and we're trying to remember to appreciate that freedom. Freedom is something you take for granted until it's somehow taken away and you're reminded just how wonderful it is that you get up in the morning, you can do as you please, you can go out if you please. You're not chas v'shalom under the control of somebody else and under the beck and call of someone else who's over you. And we're trying to remember and to savor that freedom at Pesach time. And in fact, one of the things that the Mitzrayim tried to do to take away our freedom, aside from the fact that we were slaves and had no control over what we were permitted to do during the day, they tried to break up families. And if you know anything about the slavery in the United States and the way that slaves were sold, a mother was sold here, a father was sold there, children were sold to other people. One of the aspects of slavery is the breakup of the family unit. And that's why it's so important at Pesach time that the family comes together. And we remember we're no longer at the beck and call of a slave master, and we can't be sold and bought by another person. We are free, and we appreciate that freedom. We come together as a family at the Seder. That's another aspect of it. We're also free to have control of our own time. And for this, I'm going to hand out interesting source sheets, where the only part that's relevant to us right now is the first two or three paragraphs. Since Baruch Hashem, a number of people more came than I expected, we'll just do two to a score sheet, or three. This is from my grandson's bar mitzvah, because he spoke last week about HaKodesh HaZel HaFen, and when I saw this, I said, oh, we're going to save on Shemos, you have some left over, and, oh, you heard this, right. Okay. He was thinking about, I think I have more questions than I thought. He was thinking about why this was the first mitzvah. Why was HaKodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodeshim? Why did Hashem begin us with that as the first mitzvah when we were going out of Mitzrayim? And the whole establishment of the Jewish calendar. And here's what this Farnas said about it in the second paragraph. Mikan ze'ilach yiyu ha'chadashim shalachem la'asos bahem kitzonchem. Aval bimei ha'shibud lo hayu yimeichem shalachem. Aval hayu la'avadas achirim ritzonam. That this was an essential difference between being slaves and becoming free people. And having control of one's own time is a very important aspect of being a free person. If you read Natan Sharansky's Escape to Freedom, you know that one of the things that they tried to do to him while he was in prison in Russia was not only to take away the sense of control of one's time, that absolutely, but by putting him in solitary confinement and putting him in a cell that had no window to the world, he lost all track of time. It was to make him lose all track of day or night, what day, what month, what year. That's part of the aspect of being imprisoned and of being in someone else's total control. So what did giving us the calendar for ourselves mean? Zot omeret, ein la'abed luach manim mishalo, ki hu taloi b'ritzon acherim. Eved, ein la'abed, excuse me, ein la'abed luach manim mishalo, ki taloi b'ritzon acherim. Eved eino yechol l'tzapos l'tarich specifi. One of the aspects of being a slave is that you can't look forward to a specific date. That even the mitzvah of counting the Omer can be understood in a similar way. Why? So it shows that you can plan ahead, which is something a slave also can't do. A slave is so much at the whim, at the beck and call of somebody else. And here one can count ahead. Im kein yesh lanu tshuva achas l'shelasenu. Kiddush haChodesh hi mitzvah matzimah l'zman shel yitzias Mitzrayim, ki keirusenu mishibud Mitzrayim bo lidei bitui b'mitzvah hazos. So the fact that we were given haChodesh hazalachem and that the kviyas haluach was put in our hands is an aspect of the freedom that we got at yitzias Mitzrayim. Control of our time, control of our actions, and we want to appreciate that freedom, savor that freedom again, and not to take for granted. Now, to look at why we say the psukim from the bringing of Bikurim at Pesach, and why that's the central part of the Haggadah, according to Rav Soloveitchik, and according to many of the Mefarshim. What happens when we do count time the way that we do, calling today Yom Rishon, not like in the United States where Monday is actually to be considered the first day of the week. What do we do when we call this the first Chodesh? What we're doing each time is we're identifying with Jewish history, and we're saying we're part of a nation that sees things a little differently from the way the rest of the world looks at them. And what we're doing in the Seder is, even at the moment of appreciating freedom and thinking how wonderful it is, and Hava'at Bikurim, it's the same thing according to Nechama Leibowitz. Here's the wonderful moment where we're bringing the first fruits of our own planting in our own land. And yet, even at that time, we remember Arami Oved Avi, we remember what it was to have to face difficulties from another nation, from another person trying to destroy us, and we remember what it was to go through Shibud Mitzrayim. And Nechama Leibowitz says that even at the moments of greatest joy, even at the moments of greatest success and happiness, we still remember what our nation went through and what we had to endure in order to become Am Yisrael. It's also a central part of the Haggadah because it's in the first person. We say Arami Oved Avi, and we say Kivasi Av Ha'aretz Adesher Shemeshbah Avasenu Laseif Lanu. We're remembering the whole experience in the first person. It's always I or we for what we went through. It's not they. And that's an essential part of what we're supposed to feel at the Seder. We're supposed to feel all these miracles happened to me, and we're supposed to recognize that if not for the Geula in Mitzrayim, we wouldn't be here as a nation. In fact, I'd like to go through what Rav Soloveitchik says about all of the Haggadah right now, and then come back to Arami Oved Avi. He sees this as a study session. He sees the Seder as a Beit Midrash session. And what we're supposed to be doing in this Beit Midrash is we're supposed to be devoting one part of our time to Mikra, one part of our time to what's in Tanakh, one part of our time to Medrash, one part of our time to Mishnah, and one part of our time to Gemara. And that's what's happening at the Seder. So don't get concerned if everyone in the family has something to say. In fact, it's good to tell everyone in the family, each one of you is going to get at least 2 minutes to say something. So prepare yourself, because that's exactly what it's supposed to be. I took 2 minutes from my brother-in-law, who is already telling all the adults who are coming to the Seder, they must be prepared with something at the Seder. It is supposed to be a Beit Midrash session. So this is the Mikra. This is the part that's coming from the Chumash. Arami Oved Avi, that's coming straight from the Torah, and that's the first part of the study session. And what we're supposed to be doing in the study session is to see a progression of Jewish history, and that's the progression in Jewish history as well, going from Mikra to Mishnah to Gemara, but also the progression of Jewish history of our starting as a nation that was enslaved, that went down to Egypt, and that came out as a free nation with many people, and was able to flourish as a nation. So, for example, the Mishnah part is when we say, the Medrash part is when we do an exegesis of the text, because we recognize that although not all these words are in the Haggadah in the Arami Oved Avi quotation where we just quote one pasuk, but it's in the rest of Pesukim we explain. We explain Vayiredu Osanu HaMitzrim, we explain Bosos Bosos of Mosim, all that follows. So what we're doing is we're quoting the beginning of a text, and then we're quoting words from the rest of the text as we go through the Haggadah, and depending on the number of pages in your Haggadah, about two pages are a phrase from the Bikurim text and an explanation. We'll look at those explanations in a minute. The Mishnah part, for example, is when we have Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Mishlo Omer Shloshot Verim Eilu B'Pesach Yotzo Yedei Chavaso Veiluhen Pesach Matzah Umarar. Well, that's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah in Pesachim that we're quoting. And Rav Soloveitchik says that the Gemara part, Mishnah part, he says, is Chukim U'Mishpatim, and the Gemara part is the logical reasoning and the arguing and the coming to conclusions through the discussion. And that's why we have, for example, Lefichach Anachnu Chayivim L'Hodos L'Halal. Therefore, we have to bring thanks and praise to Hashem. And all of this is doing first Mikra, then Mishnah, then Gemara. In fact, just one part about the arguing in the Gemara, a side point that I'll just say very quickly. My husband is Mashgiach Ruchani at Yeshiva University, and the past 2 years, he found out that many people in the secular faculty had no idea what's going on between 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever time a boy goes to daven. There are many, many minyanim at Yeshiva, including the executive minyan at 8:30. What's going on from then until 3 o'clock when the boys go on to secular studies. So he's been taking people to see the Beit Midrash. And the thing that overwhelms the secular studies professors, a number of things. First of all, that there's such a concentration on the text and such a deep analysis of the text and such a desire to get to the full meaning of the text. Second of all, that they're arguing about the text. They can't get over that. There's actually an argument going on, each one trying to give a better explanation. And then that it's done aloud. And they say there is no, they cannot think of any other area where people study in quite this way. Hundreds of people sitting in a Beit Midrash, two over a text, and each one trying to elucidate the text after the other one. But that's what we're doing at the Seder as well. We're trying to look at the text. We're trying to look at Arami Oved Avi, for example. We're trying to look at all the succeeding psukim that come after it. And we're trying to come to an understanding of it, to understand both the progress of Jewish history and what it is exactly that we're celebrating this night. Rav Soloveitchik says that it's most important that it's Haggadah, to tell over. And he says Lahagid also means to learn, because the most important thing is the Masorah, that we have to pass this on to our children. And he said we have to do it through question and answer. That's the classic Jewish way. And in fact, he takes the Pasuk from Devarim, Dalad Chavtes, Ubikashtim Misham, which he also used as the title of one of his Sfarim. Ubikashtim Misham es Hashem Elokeichem, Umatzasa ki tidrashenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. If you seek out Hashem, and what we're trying to do by doing the Manashtana, and by having our children ask questions, and by encouraging them to ask questions, we're trying to make each one of them into a Doresh Hashem. We're trying to make each one of them into a seeker after Hashem, and the only way you can do that is by asking questions. He feels that everything that we're doing at the Seder is to encourage the children through audiovisual aids. And that, for example, the remembering the Karban Pesach, the eating the matzah, eating the maror, all of this is a way of encouraging the child to think of what we used to have, to think of what we went through, and to think of, in Yirtzeh Hashem, in a moment, you'll see what we're looking forward to. He points out that the meal is important, even though I know that on Erev Pesach, everybody's supposed to be hungry, and I saw this in several forums while I was preparing this talk. Don't worry about your kids saying that they're hungry Erev Pesach. They're supposed to be hungry. And in fact, what the Chachamim recommend is give them fruits, give them things like that to eat, because you're supposed to come to the Seder and eat the matzah, the teyavon. And certainly, that's the way that most people do come and eat the matzah, because Erev Pesach, there's no time to be making more things than one has to make for the meal. But he sees the meal as very important, because he sees the Jewish meal as being eaten in a very different way from the average way of eating. We're not just eating to satisfy hunger. We view the table as a mizbeach, and we view the eating as an elevated experience. And it's supposed to be, in fact, there's one saying in the Gemara that the mizbeach, the way that you eat is mechaper and any avonos, because we eat with brachos, and we eat with a sense of this is a special meal before Hashem. And he said at the end of it, we feel so joyous that we naturally go into Hallel, and we automatically are thinking of how to thank Hashem. And throughout, we are being made aware of the relevance of the whole experience of Yetzer Mitzrayim to ourselves. In the Arami Oved Avi passage, for example, right before we say that, we say, Ilo Hotziah Kadosh Baruch Hu Savasemi Mitzrayim, if Hashem had not taken our ancestors out of Mitzrayim, we would have been lost as a Jewish people. We say, Harei Ono Vaneinu Mishubadim Hayinu Lefarab Mitzrayim, but we would have been lost as a Jewish nation. Or when we say, B'chol Dor V'dor Chayav Adam L'Rosa Satzmo Kihu Yatzam Mitzrayim, that's the experience that we're trying to feel, that we're trying to convey to our children. This is what it means to be a Jewish nation. And of course we know, V'hi She'am Do Avaseinu, that Hashem has always, the promise of Hashem that we will go on as a people has always stood, whether V'hi She'am Do is referring to the Bris Im Ha'avos, it's many different possibilities of what it could refer to. But V'chol Dor V'dor Omdim L'Aleinu L'chal Aseinu. We're not surprised at what's coming out of the leader of Iran. We're not surprised at anything that's happening today. We're aware always of what the danger is. And how do we react? And this is why we lift up the Kiddush cup, which is something that I found out for the first time now in preparing this. We say, Kos Yishuos Esa. That's why we pick up the cup at the Seder at different points. Because we're saying we're looking forward to the redemption. And even the cup of wine reminds us that we are looking forward to this redemption. Rav Soloveitchik thinks that perhaps the reason that we only say the four psukim that we do, the only reason we have the four lashonos of gula, the hotseisi v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti, and we don't say the last one, the heveisi, is because the destination that we were going to after Yetzias Mitzrayim was Eretz Yisrael. That was our destination. But our destiny was to become the Am Hashem, was to receive the Torah. So that our destiny was to come to Har Sinai. And that he also thinks that perhaps the last psukim were included about the Heveisi when we had a Beis HaMikdash, but now that we don't have one yet, we will not say that pasuk until the Beis HaMikdash is completely ours, and until we have a time of Eretz Yisrael being fully ours. He feels that we end the Seder with Nishmas Kol Chai, and with Al Kei Nekamah, and we're looking forward to a time when all people will recognize Hashem. And that's why we have the Hallel HaGadol as well as the Hallel that we say, because the Hallel HaGadol is about Hashem being the one who has created the whole world, who has created the entire universe, who takes care of all nations, and we're looking forward to that time. As particular as we are at the Seder about being an Israel and about being a Jewish nation, we hope that everybody will recognize Hashem. Now to go to Arami Oveid Avi and to try to examine those psukim. Of course, it can be read both ways, because Oveid means he was lost. He was finding himself wandering. So who was it that was wandering, and who was it that caused somebody else to be lost? Most Haggadot, if you have a translation, say Arami Oveid Avi means my father was a wandering Aramean. And it could refer to Abraham, or it could refer to Yaakov, to anybody who had to wander, and that could be the meaning of it. Another meaning, which Ibn Ezra says is not correct according to grammar, according to Diktuk, is Oveid is Ma'abed, that an Arami sought to destroy my father. And that would be referring, he feels, to Lavan. And we mentioned Lavan right beforehand in the Haggadah, so that's why some take it to mean Lavan tried to destroy my father. And what it's about, in general, Rav Yaakov Beirav, who was the teacher of Rav Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, he interpreted it that it was Lavan's doing that we had to go through the whole Shibud Mitzrayim. And he interpreted it this way. What did Lavan do? Lavan gave Leah as the first wife, and Rachel as the second wife. That meant that Yosef was not the firstborn to Yaakov. Reuven was the firstborn to Yaakov. And Rav Yaakov Beirav says, had Yosef been the firstborn, the other brothers would have understood his getting special treatment. There wouldn't have been the whole animosity toward Yosef that existed. And then there wouldn't have been the whole selling of Yosef into Shibud Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim. And then we wouldn't have had to go through the whole episode that we went through. We would have just immediately gone to Eretz Yisrael and had it as our own land. But this brings up the whole mystery of why life happens as it does. We all know that we make decisions at different times that work out very differently from what we would have expected, very differently from what we would have planned. And that's the mystery of suffering. Why did certain people in 1938 realize that they should get out of Germany, and other people thought, the same way in World War I that we survived a terrible time, we're going to survive this time also. We don't know why we make decisions the way we do. And if we look at our own lives, sometimes we'll look back and we'll say, but why did I do it then? I should have waited a year. Or, why did I marry him? Why didn't I marry the man who's the second husband, who's the right husband for me? We don't know why we do things like that. And Rav Soloveitchik says we can't ask why. That's called life. We do things and we don't know why we do them. But we can ask, what can we learn from it? That's the question we should ask. Not why, but what can we learn from it and how can I go on now? So we can say Arami Oveid Avi, and if not for what that Arami had done, if not for what Lavan had done, that Arami who went Liramot, who went to fool Yaakov, maybe would have had a different Jewish history, but we can't even ask that according to Rav Soloveitchik. We have to accept this is how it happened, and this is how Hashem made it come out. And we have to recognize also that's part of Jewish history, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai used to say, Shalosh Matanos Tavos Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, V'chulon Lo Nosanon El Ayadei Yisurin. Hashem gave us three wonderful gifts, and they all come through suffering. Elohim, Torah, the Eretz Yisrael, the Ha'olam Haba. And we certainly know that Eretz Yisrael comes through suffering, and that we have to go through great difficulties in order to merit the land our land. And in fact, Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimon Rafal Hirsch, sees the symbolism of the Marar as not only remembering what we went through in Mitzrayim, but knowing that in Jewish history, there will always be a little bit of maror until the time that we come to the complete redemption. And in fact, that's why he feels that Hillel said to be korech matzah umaror va'ochlem b'yachad, because we have to realize that even with the matzah, which symbolizes the redemption, the maror comes with it. That's part of Jewish history. There's always some bitterness to go along with it. Okay, it's the Maharal who mentions that Arami Ovedavi can be read in both directions. Now let's look at the rest of what these psukim say. Arami Ovedavi, okay, that's Pasuk Hey, and my father went down to Mitzrayim and went there in small numbers. Vahisham Lagoy Gadol Atzum Varav. When we see Lagoy Gadol Atzum Varav, the stipler said, really, when you consider that we went out of Mitzrayim and we were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, which means at least an equal number of men of other ages, an equal number of women, so we must have been about 2 million people going out of Mitzrayim. That's the number that's usually taken. And we should have been, according to the stipler, by the time of Dvorah HaNaviyah, is the time that he gave, we should have been in the billions by that time if we had multiplying at that rate. That shows us that there will always be both defections from the Jewish people, unfortunately, people who simply assimilate into the surrounding culture, and unfortunately, attacks against us, because otherwise we should have been the biggest nation around. Now, the proof pasuk that's given in discussing this, that's given for Rav, is Rav, and just one second while I find it, it's a pasuk from Yecheskel, and it's Ravavah katzemach nasatich, I made you grow up like plants of the field. And here again, it's Nechama Leibowitz who says, why is that chosen as the example, Rav Ravava Katzemach HaSadeh, that I make you grow as many as the way the plants in the field grow? She says, because the plants in the field grow very quickly, and they grow without any human effort. And that's the way that we were multiplying Mitzrayim. It seems like it was just happening that we were becoming so many. And she also said an interesting thing. You know that when you cut down wild grass, not only does it grow back, but it grows back in even greater number than it had been originally. And she said that was happening in Mitzrayim. Much as we were attacked, and much as we were put down, and much as decrees were made against us, but we were ketzemach hasadeh. We would spring up even more people after all that was done to us. And I was always wondering about v'arech b'sosesuch b'damayach, v'amar lach b'damayach chayi, v'amar lach b'damayach chayi. Why do we say that twice? And I will say to you, you live in through your blood, you will live through your blood. And this is explained by Nechama Leibowitz and by a number of mefarshim that she quotes, that we were our own v'eriyah, we were bare of mitzvot while we were living in Mitzrayim. And we had to start with two mitzvot, and both of them involved dam. The first was the dam bris milah, that the men had to be circumcised, and the second was the dam al hamashkof, al hamezuzos, the dam of the Karban Pesach. So through those two kinds of blood, that's how we were able to live and become a nation, and become the nation that went out of Egypt. We had to have those two mitzvot. Okay. Now, one of the pasukim that we explained again is Vayireu Asonu HaMitzrim. And I mentioned that that's a funny way of expressing it. It should have been Vayireu Lanu HaMitzrim. Now, my father, Zichrono Livracha, used to explain it. Vayireu Asonu HaMitzrim. They made us become bad people. They made us be nasty to each other. Because when you're being oppressed that way, if you're the one who's appointed as a taskmaster over other slaves, you'll make them fulfill the quota that's being required of you, because you know what kind of punishment you're going to get if the quota is not fulfilled. So my father said, they made us into evil people. They made us be mean to each other. And one of the things that she'd been coming out of Shubim Mitzrayim was becoming people who care for each other and becoming people who are concerned for each other. Nechama Leibowitz said that she thought it was, they made us have a slave mentality. And what is a slave mentality? You're so used to being told what to do, and you're so used to your sustenance coming from someone else, that you almost don't know how to deal with freedom. And that's why the minute that there were any difficulties, when we were going out of Mitzrayim, the people said, "Nitna rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim." Let's go back to Mitzrayim. V'chanu et hakishuim, we remember all the wonderful foods that we had there, everything was taken care of, our food was supplied for us, and they forgot about what it was like to actually be slaves. They wanted to go back to that condition because their mentality had been so badly affected by having been slaves. So she says, that's what Vireyu Osar HaMitzrim. They made us into an inferior kind of people, a lesser kind of people, they made our nature become a slave nature, and that's what it means. Okay, but the entire story, beginning from the first pasuk which we actually say, and then from all the rest of the pasukim for which we give explanations, all of that is the description of the progress of what has happened to Am Yisrael. Yes, we went down to Mitzrayim, we were in Shibin Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out, the Baruch Gadol, Ba'osof of Mosim, and eventually we were going to go back to having the Bikurim ceremony, we were going to go back to being a nation in its own land. One of the things about being a nation is that we will always be different from the cultures surrounding us. In fact, the Rambam said that a number of the mitzvot that we have were given to us in order to separate us from the cultures around us, to make us be a unique people. For example, we're told, "V'chol dam lo sochelu," don't eat any blood. And in the Middle East, at that time without refrigeration, many nations used to remove the blood from the meat in order that the meat should not spoil, because the blood spoils quickly. The difference is that what did the Jews have to do with blood? Either we had to get rid of it, or if we were in the Beit HaMikdash, we were bringing a karban, and it had to be zrika al hamizbeach, and it had to be sprinkled in certain ways. But we certainly never drank the blood, never ate the blood. And here, a visit to the Bible Lands Museum this past week helped me to understand just how different we were from the other nations. Because one of the exhibits mentioned that the Egyptians, at the same time that we were in Mitzrayim, Asafatim, had something called black pudding. And what was it made from? It was made from blood. And they used to eat the blood of the animals in this pudding. And this is something that is so foreign to us, and I see a number of you looking with looks of, how did they do that? But that's part of the difference between us and the surrounding cultures. That even if we want to get rid of the blood, we do it in a special way. Because the Semli Kedoshim, that's the beginning of that's in Parshas Kedoshim and Vayikra, Ki Kedosh Ani Hashem Va'adil Aschem Min Ha'amim Liyosli. We are separate from the other nations. We do things differently from the way the other nations do. That's part of being Hashem's nation. And we're told very clearly, K'masei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba'lo Sasu, K'masei Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Meveyeskam Shama Lo Sasu. We're not supposed to do the way that they did in Mitzrayim, or when we come to Kanan the way they did there. We're supposed to go L'lechas, not in their ways, but K'kusem Lo Tzolechu. We're supposed to go in the Hashem's ways, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's part of our declaration that we're Hashem's people. And in another way, and this ties into Chodesh Zeves Elochem, we're different from the surrounding nations, because again, at the Bible Lands Museum, although I'm sure many of you know this already, the sun was worshipped, and the sun was an object of deification on the part of many people. What did Hashem do by giving us Chodesh Zeves Elochem? He gave us a calendar, and by saying that this Chag has to be in Chag HaAviv, it has to be in the springtime, He gave us a way of meshing the solar and the lunar calendar. So we're Ramadan, and the Islam going according to a lunar calendar, Ramadan can come out at any time of the year because the lunar calendar keeps on changing because of the different ways that the rotation of the moon and the rotation of the earth work together. But in Jewish life, Hashem put both together for us, the solar and the lunar calendar. Yes, we have a lunar calendar in establishing our months, counting the days of the month, but we also have a leap year where we can get the two into conjunction again and have the solar and the lunar calendar work together. And that's one of the ways that we're different from the I see the time, don't worry. Okay. That's one of the ways that we're different from the rest of the nations of the world. Yes, we do acknowledge the solar calendar, we recognize the solar calendar. At the same time, we mesh the lunar calendar with it. We don't worship the sun. We worship Hashem, who made both the sun and the moon and everything else. And we make the calendars work together. So that's an integration that happens at many times. For example, the different... What's that?
That's the idea of Birkat HaChamah, that we're celebrating it in Nisan, but
right.
Birkat HaOlam is in Tishrei.
Exactly. And also that our Chagim do have an agricultural motif, but that's not the only motif. Where again, this is from going around all the exhibits of the Bible Lands Museum, for many of the surrounding nations, the holidays revolve around an agricultural motif, whether it was the planting, the first harvest, the second harvest, this is what the holidays revolved around. And there's certainly no religious orientation at the Bible Lands Museum, as you'll see if you go there, because they talk about things happening 10,000, 15,000 years ago and this kind of thing. But even at this exhibit, they mentioned that Pesach is the first time that there's a holiday that celebrates a historic event as well as an agricultural, a part of the agricultural cycle. So again, we're different from the surrounding nations. Rav Soloveitchik says that the purpose of our Shibud, one of the purposes of our Shibud, one of the things we can learn from it, again, not asking why, but asking what can we learn from it, we learn from it sensitivity. Because we saw what it was to be an oppressed people, we saw what it was to be the ones who were the strangers in the land, to be the Gerim Ba'aretz, and that taught us a certain sensitivity to other people. And you see that so many of the mitzvot revolve around remembering Ki Gerim Hayis Ba'aretz Mitzrayim. We are reminded again and again what it feels like to be the stranger. For example, we're told that when there's a stranger living with you, all that goes together. Be nice to the stranger. I'm your Hashem, and I'm requiring this of you, because you were once strangers in the land of Mitzrayim. And I can tell you that even being a stranger in your own land a little bit, my sister, for example, told me where a certain store was that was supposed to be on Ben Yehuda. Turns out the store closed a few months ago. And when you're going around asking people, where is the store, and they all don't know, you feel very much out of it. Like, what's wrong with you for being the stranger who doesn't realize until somebody finally tells you? In fact, my sister told me, go to Nimrod and ask them. It was right next to Nimrod. Mm-hmm. I went and asked them, and she said, oh, Avru, Kama Chadashim, you know, and told me where the store was now. So it's that feeling of, I'm somehow out of it, and everybody else is in on it. And that's what you're supposed to remember with this. So that, for example, when it comes to Mishpat, Ger Yosom and Almana, you're supposed to remember to react kindly. And again, Ki Gerim Hayisim Ba'aretz Mitzrayim. Or, all right, I will give all the examples. But again and again, it's remember the experience of being the one who's out of it and to cultivate a certain sensitivity. And the fact that Gemara tells us that there are three ways that you're supposed to recognize a Jew: by Shanim, Rachmanim, the Gomlei Chassidim. So we're supposed to be Rachmanim, the Gomlei Chassidim, and we were supposed to have learned that, according to Rav Soloveitchik, from the Shibud in Mitzrayim. However, Rav Soloveitchik points out that it's not only to look back on the suffering and look back on the sensitivity, but also to look forward, and that's why we end the Seder with Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. And in fact, I don't know if your family used to have this custom, but our family has the custom that everybody gets up and dances around to Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim Habnuya, that we're looking forward to a time when we will experience that future redemption and Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. So what we're celebrating at Pesach is a declaration of our belief in the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're identifying with Jewish history and we're being part of it. We're appreciating what it is to be a Jew and to be different. And we're remembering the empathy we should feel for others because of what slavery taught us. The final thing that we're trying to remember is the special relationship that we have with Hashem. And that special relationship makes us unique among the nations. And it doesn't make us better than anyone, it just gives us more responsibility. Rabbi Lau says that the Torah refers to this Chag again and again as the Chag HaMatzos, because that's a praise to the Jewish people, that we made the matzah, that we showed our faith that Hashem would provide for us. We didn't wait for the batzek to rise, and we went trusting that Hashem would provide for us wherever we were going. And when we refer to it, we don't refer to it among ourselves as Chag HaMatzos, we refer to it as Chag HaPesach. Because we're thanking Hashem for the special relationship that He passed over our homes and saved us and took us out of Egypt. And what's the way that we remember the Korban Pesach? And that's a very important part of the Seder and a very important part of our whole observance of Pesach. We remember it with the zroa, with the roast bone, with the roast shank that we put on the Seder table. To remember, remind us of the time when we did bring the Korban Pesach when we had the Beis HaMikdash. And we put out an egg also, although I could not find the reason for why the egg is the symbol, but the egg is to remember the Korban Chagiga that we used to bring. So now you know why you're putting out the Zra'a as a reminder of the Korban Pesach and the egg as a reminder of the Korban Chagiga. I will say one thing that I learned about the egg and why that's a symbol at other times in Jewish life. I'm sure you've all heard this. Every food, the longer you cook it, the softer it gets. Apples, fish, meat, chicken, the longer you cook it, the softer it gets. The egg, the longer you cook it, the harder it gets. And that's how B'nai Israel are in the face of the different people who attack us. You attack us, it's okay, we're going to get stronger in the face of it, we're going to survive. We'll be the hard-boiled egg. Terrific. Okay. Right, right. But no beginning, no end. It goes round. Okay, and there's no...
Continue on.
And we'll continue on. Thank you. Good, mm-hmm. Good. Okay, so now we can only remember the Korban Pesach. We can't actually do it. But how do you remember it? For example, when you don't roast any food for the Seder night, when you serve either boiled food or however you're going to make it, but that not roasting is remembering that the thing that was Sli Eish, the thing that was roasted on the fire, that was the Korban Pesach. And nothing else can be roasted that night. Nothing can replace it. The Korban Pesach is also remembered with the Afikomen, because that has to be the last thing that we taste at the Seder, and the Korban Pesach had to be Nechal al Hasova. It had to be eaten until satiety, until you were satisfied. So when you're eating the Afikomen, you're also thinking, as you feel so full and you say, I can't even taste another bite of matzah, you're thinking, but that's the way they're supposed to feel at the Korban Pesach. Another thing about the Korban Pesach, and this is very indicative of what Jewish life is like, is that you had to identify yourself as being part of the group that was bringing the Korban. You had to take the animal on the 10th day, and you had to have it ready on the 14th day for the Korban, and eat it on the 15th at night. And it's interesting, you were not supposed to bring it by yourself. You were supposed to be part of a group. So the obligation, the chiyuv, is on the yachid. The obligation is on each individual. But he had to be part of a tzibur. He had to be part of a community in bringing it. And in fact, he had to register his name on the list of who was going to be part of that tzibur that was bringing that Korban. So for example, if two families figured that they were, each family did not have enough people to eat the entire Korban, they were supposed to join together and eat it together, come to one house together and bring eat the Korban together, but they were supposed to make a list of who was going to be eating from that Korban Pesach ahead of time. And it shows exactly what Jewish life is like. The chiyuv to do the different mitzvot is on the yachid. Each one of us has the obligation. But we're all supposed to be part of a tzibur. Altif Roshman has tzibur. You're not supposed to separate yourself from the community. You're supposed to be part of the community. Another thing about the Korban Pesach was that it was the first expression of commitment on the part of the Jewish people. Until then, we had really been passive. All the nisim were being done, the Esther Makos were being done, and we were being required to really do very much in the way of bringing about anything to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Korban Pesach was a very open declaration that we're not worshipping the Egyptian gods. It was a very open declaration that we're taking one of the things that they were worshipping, and that's what we're bringing as the Korban. And since we had to take it on the 10th day, it was already 4 days of declaring, I am a member of the Jewish people. And that's one of the things that Pesach is, you're declaring your commitment as a member of the Jewish people. And it's interesting that in any other mitzvah having to do with Korbanos, Avar Zmano, Batel Korbano. If the time passed, then you can't bring the Korban. If the time passed for a certain mitzvah, you can't do it later on. For example, on Sukkot, if you're mitzta'er, if it's a very big hardship for you to sit in the sukkah, let's say that it's raining very hard, or that one of Chas V'Shalom is ill, then one is allowed to, we all want to make Kiddush in the sukkah the first night, but after that you're allowed to eat inside if it would be a great deal of suffering for you to try to eat the sukkah. And there is no Sukkot Shniot or Sukkot Shenit or anything like that coming in the next month. That's not the way it works. Only with Pesach did the people come who were Tamei for one reason or another, who were impure for one reason or another and couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. And there it is so important to be a part of the Jewish people and to declare yourself a part of Am Yisrael that Hashem said there could be Pesach Sheni. There was a second chance on Iyar, on Yud Dalet Iyar, to bring the Korban Pesach and to fulfill the mitzvah. Here was a second chance to do it. And interesting, twice in the Torah people say Lama Nigara. Why should we miss out on the chance? And who are the people who say Lama Nigara? Perfect. Benos Lachad. Exactly. The people who wanted to bring the Pesach, Korban Pesach, and for one reason or another were Tamei, were not able to bring it, and were told they could bring it on the 14th of Iyar, on the 14th of the next month. And the Benos Lachad who said Lama Nigara. Why should we miss out on the Nachla, on the inheritance in Eretz Yisrael?
But in both cases, and it was active. In other words, it wasn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu that said, listen, if you can't do Pesach Rishon, do a Pesach Sheni. It was people that came to Moshe and said, what about us? It was Benos Lachad that came and said, what about us? It wasn't something that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael had to make the first active...
Had to initiate it. And you are quoting a Gemara here,
no,
because the Gemara says that Benos Lachad Chachmanios hayu, that they were very wise and that they showed great love for Eretz Yisrael, because where the men had said Nitna Rosh Mendoshuva Mitzrayma, let's go back to Mitzrayim, they said Tzna Lanu Achuza, give us a part. We want to be part of Eretz Yisrael and we don't want to be missing out on it in any way. So that's one of the things that shows the significance of the Korban Pesach and the significance of identifying that if a person was tamei lenefesh or b'derech rechoka, he was given a second chance and to do it completely. When we're told how the mitzvah was to be done, it's b'chodesh hasheni b'arba asar yom bein harbaim yasu oso al matzos morim yochluhu. The complete mitzvah was done. I'll just say a quick thing to tell you that there were always women who learned Torah. This is just a thing was told to us each year at the Seder to remind us that you should be aiming high and that a woman should not be restricting herself. My sister is here, my sister Shlomis. Our great-grandmother heard a conversation among the family. If people were observing Bahav, which very few people observe nowadays, but it's fasting on the Monday, the Thursday, and the Monday after a Chag, that one may have indulged too much over the Chag, and one fasts Monday, Thursday, Monday afterward, and says, aren't you glad you didn't know about it? Yeah. And says a different piyutim, and it is something that's observed. The discussion came up at the family table, what about if Yud Daled Iyar came out to be one of the days of Bahab? So could you bring the Korban Pesach or not? Would they have been allowed to bring the Korban Pesach or not, since it's a fast day? And the men were debating it, and our great-grandmother said, well, wait a minute. The Korban Pesach was prepared on the 14th, but it was actually eaten on the 15th at night. So there's no question. Fast on the 14th and eat it on the 15th at night. Now that was quoted in her name in a Torah journal in the latter part of the 19th century. It's a Torah journal called Yagdil Torah, and I almost thought it was a family myth. I actually went to the YU library and somebody there helped me look it up and find it in Yagdil Torah. So here was a woman quoted about the permissibility of the Pesach Sheni, even if it came out on a day of Bahab. Just something to think about how much we are supposed to learn and how wonderful it is that as the generations are continuing, the younger women are learning so much more and are gaining so much more. So, to sum up, what we're celebrating at Pesach is we're affirming in a very clear way our belief in Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're not only identifying with Jewish history, but we're reliving part of it, we're re-experiencing part of it. We're giving it over to our children that we want to re-experience it and that we hope that they will re-experience it and that we're looking forward to the time of Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Lashana HaBa Yerushalayim HaBnuya. We're appreciating our special relationship with Hashem. We're recognizing that to be a Jew is to be different and that difference is responsibility, not superiority. We're appreciating the fact that we must have special empathy for others because we went through a time when nobody cared for what our feelings and what our hardships were. And we have to retain that empathy. And Imre Tashem, it should be Lashon Haba, be Rishon Habnuya. I wish you all Chakash and Sameach.
Thank you so much.
I hope that when you read the Haggadah, you'll all look at our Arami Oved Avi and realize that all the passages following it are quotations from the rest of the passage. We're not saying the whole passage in order, but the rest are quotations from the passage. Okay.
Thank you. So we're going to open up a light breakfast here. And we've got another shiur. Yeah, very light. We've got another shiur starting in about probably 10 minutes, something like that. 10-15 minutes.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful. Yeah, and Yael's button was wonderful also. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. No,
well,
in and out. Came in Thursday night and left right after the Rebbe's celebration. Right, it was a Sunday night. Yeah, it was. And he had to go to Delta. He had to go to Atlanta because that was where he got the best price on the ticket. Yeah, yeah. But Baruch Hashem. And they had a brachos fee this year. And among the semifinalists were Yudidia, Mordechai, and Yael Blau. Faith never saw Yudidia study for a minute. So in the next round, it was Mordechai and Yael Blau who did study. And in the final round, Yael won. And they asked the kids to come up to say, if in the final round, to say if they won, what they would do with the bicycle that was the prize. And Yael said, my younger brother is outgrowing his bicycle. I happen to be the one who gave him that bike. And I will give the bicycle to my younger brother. So I'm not in this for the prize. I'm in this just because I learned a lot of brachos. Is she something? She won. She gave the bicycle to
me.
Oh, really? Oh, so there's another brother-sister combination. Well, you get all the news from Cleveland.
And I was going to
terrific.
I didn't know who won.
Yeah.
Hi. From us.
Oh, I thought you looked like Jenny, but you weren't.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
One second.
I just came to say hello.
So quickly.
Thank you. I was basically to put back. He's coming back in just a minute.
Exactly. Get a new grandson, they have a new grandson, and that's try to write to your email, and it's the wrong email.
Let me write down for you quickly what we are now.
Here, you can write it down on here. It was very interesting to see the
NYC is New York City, RR is Roadrunner, and that means that we're on the table now.
Can Linda and Joel know what happened on the phone this morning? Your company for summer? Because they're good friends with Linda and I'll tell this story.
No, I haven't spoken
to because I was going to say Linda and Joel are also good friends with Roadrunner.
No, that I know.
I don't think Roven. Yeah.
Maybe they get a chance to see the same.
No,
here.
Yancy and Ayala have a little girl in September.
Right.
And Shlomo and Sarah have a little girl.
What's the name?
Yeah, I forgot to ask you.
Thank you.
So excited
all time.
Good. And I didn't know you were teaching. Yeah. Okay. Good. I'll be in touch. Please take it back.
Anyone that hasn't been here, I'm Sharon Oxford. I haven't been here in years. I'm here all the time. I was in school Wednesday. My grandson put on Stellan, and Zaria and Mordecai were right in front of them.
Right.
And I had a picture of them, and I erased it by mistake.
Yes.
But it was so rare, and I wish I had a video.
I'm leaving because I really have to be at work here.